This is the Paycheck to Dayheck Reselling Podcast.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Ashley.
Together, we have been making money online collectively for over 10 years.
Our mission is to help you start, learn, and grow a reselling business and to inspire you to turn your paycheck into a Dayheck.
The world is changing and we want to help you change with it. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Paycheck to Dayheck podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about how to do a deep dive in researching your niche. And if you're unfamiliar with what a niche is, which do you say niche or do you say niche? Or niche?
I interchange them.
I always say niche. I don't know. Maybe you guys listening out there, maybe you say niche. But I don't know. I've always said niche. So that's what I'm just going to continue to say. The niche is where it's something very, very specific. Maybe you're not just selling clothing. Maybe your niche is you're just selling Levi's 90s jeans. So the niche is going to be an item or category that is just very, very specific. I know we had a couple people in the Dayheckers Facebook group that were kind of asking our opinion on, you know, how do you find a niche? What are the steps that you take to even A, find one, and then B, like, how do you price your items? Like, what do you do? How do you build something out of a niche store? So I think this will be a good episode for anybody who is curious about finding a niche.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and based on, you know, things that we've seen, like you said, in the Facebook group and on Instagram and stuff, we've talked about this in the last few episodes, how there are more and more resellers starting out reselling, right? And how, you know, specifically the clothing category is becoming more and more saturated, and how we need to do things to separate ourselves in order to be successful as, you know, clothing resellers. And I think that if you are able to do more research and have more knowledge than your competition, it's going to put you light years, many, many, many steps ahead of these people that are not doing research, who might be, you know, resellers for many years, or the newbies that are coming in as well. I think that's probably the number one thing. Research is the number one thing that most resellers aren't doing enough of, other than like listing, of course. But if you know more about the things that you're selling, there's nothing but advantages that are going to come from that. Knowing your niche inside and out is going to be essential for you to have success in this niche. So there's other people that are doing the research and becoming experts, and they're going to fly past you if you don't take the time to do the research as well, if you're not willing to put in the same amount of time and effort. In this episode, I wanted to use clothing as an example. Like I said before, we hear all the time that it's oversaturated, becoming too saturated. There's too many clothing sellers. There's too many of us. There's not enough success, whatever the reason is. But I bet if you had unlimited time, you could go to pretty much any thrift store in the United States and pull out at least like $500 worth of profitable items. But it's going to take you a considerable amount of time while you're there doing the research in order to find those items. But if you've done the research ahead of time and you know your niche inside and out, you're in and out way faster than any of the other resellers that are there. On top of that, you know, people doing research in the thrift stores, we see this all the time, right? Like people on their phones researching items. I'm certainly guilty of doing that, especially when I was newer. It would take me hours and hours in the thrift store to find half a cart full of items to take home and resell. And then when you get home, you're going to do more research when you're building the listings. So if you already know when you go into the thrift store what you're looking for, if it's clothing, if it's shoes, if it's electronics, antiques, whatever, if you know everything about your category or niche that there is to know, you're not going to be doing the research in the store. You already know what items you're going to pass on and what items you're going to pick up. It's going to save you time then, and it's going to save you time when you're trying to build your listings when you get home too.
Going back to what Ashley was saying about the time it does take to do research, I think that is why some resellers avoid niching down, because it does take extra work. If you do like 10 to 20 minutes of research a day for like 6 months, you are going to be way ahead of the game. And I think that is what's intimidating about getting into a niche. People feel like it's almost a disadvantage to do that, because then you're like, you're so niche down in one thing that the fear is you're missing out on other opportunities. But I feel like if you are getting to the point where you are a clothing seller and you aren't selling a lot of items, this could be something that you should definitely try. Especially, it's We're almost done with quarter four, which is crazy. You know, it's middle of November this week. There's Thanksgiving. Quarter one is coming up, and that's a naturally slow time for resellers. January is a little busier, but then you get into February, March, and it's slower. So this would be a really good time to start learning a niche and just spending the 10, 20 minutes of research a day. And you, by the time quarter two rolls around, I mean, you're going to be very knowledgeable in whatever niche that you pick.
Yeah, the time is going to go by anyways, so you might as well use it to your advantage, right? And in doing all this research, there won't be questions anymore of whether or not you should pick up an item or pass on an item. And you're going to know right away whether that item meets your buying criteria, the sell-through rate you're looking for. You're going to know what sizes sell best for each specific brand, colors, prints, solids, like whatever. You know, you're going to have all that knowledge. I mean, I can't stress this enough, the time that you're going to save in doing that research while you're standing there. It's crazy. Okay, so in talking about all of this, you know, I think that we should also become experts in what our competition is doing. What are they selling? Where are they getting their items? What's going on with them, right? So who is your competition? It's basically the resellers who live in your area that you're competing with for items at the thrift store, or if you're doing RA at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, wherever you're sourcing. So it's those people in your local area, not necessarily the people right now. What we're going to talk about, it's the people in your local area, not necessarily the people that are selling similar items online. We've talked about this once before, but I did want to get into it again, because in the previous episode where we mentioned it, we kind of went over it very quickly, and I wanted to get into it a little bit more in depth. It's just such a great tool to have at your disposal. And if you only consistently did this, one way of researching and nothing else, you could still be massively successful. I want you guys to do this little like exercise with us. So if you go to eBay and you type in a keyword or two or three for your niche. So in this example, we're going to use a polo shirt. So I'm going to go into eBay. I'm going to type polo shirt into the search bar. When I did this, I got 610,000 results that came up. So next, you're going to scroll down and you're going to put your zip code in. So my zip code where I am right now is 12189. So you put your zip code in, don't put mine in. And then you're going to change the radius to 25 miles. When I did that, it went from 610,000 results down to 1,100 results. These are the people in your radius that are selling polo shirts. After that, I filter from highest to lowest, so you can see which items are listed for the highest amount, because I mean, if people are, you know, doing like penny auctions and stuff like that, we don't really want to focus on that. We want to focus on like the high profitable items. And then we're going to start with listed items first, and then we're going to look at solds after that. So right now we want to see like what these people in our like competition zone are listing.
I did include a step-by-step how to check your competition on eBay in the show notes below, but if you'd like to see it being done, we did include it in today's episode on our YouTube channel around the 8-minute, 22-second mark, so you guys can check that out. Before we get back to the episode, I want to take this time to thank everyone who is listening. Ashley and I are very grateful for all the support, wishing all of you a happy Thanksgiving, enjoy time with friends, family, and stay safe.
Tagging the thrift store, you know that they go Friday mornings and they're buying out all the polo shirts at this thrift store. So if they're going Friday mornings, you're going on Thursdays now, right? Mm-hmm. So you've just kind of given yourself an advantage over your competition just by doing a couple minutes of research starting on eBay. You know, I want to put a little bit of a disclaimer in here. By no means are we saying that you should like follow people, stalk people, nothing like that. It's just for research purposes. It's information that is already readily available. You're just connecting these platforms. So you're connecting eBay to Poshmark to Instagram, and it's information that these people are already posting online for other people to see. We're not suggesting that you wait for them in the thrift store parking lot or anything like that. It's just information that's already out there that you can certainly use to your advantage to get a leg up on, you know, other people that are in your niche. So I hope that you guys found that helpful. And you can do that, you know, over and over and over again for anything that you're selling. If you're a Nike seller, you know, you can kind of figure out, well, are they going to outlet stores? Do they have a source maybe that they're posting about? Hopefully they're not posting about it, but maybe they are, because again, people love to, they love to kind of brag a little bit, right? And we don't think about that when we're posting online that, wow, holy cow, maybe my direct competitor in my area is also on Instagram and watching my stories, you know? So that's just a little deep dive into how you can figure out who your direct competition is in like a 25 mile radius around you.
People do post so much on social media, and I've been trying to not post as much as what we have been finding out there, because I don't want that competition. Like, I want to, you know, I share sometimes on the podcast a few things that we pick up and things like that. But what Ashley just explained, it's called reverse sourcing pretty much. And people do that on Amazon a lot. They are going into retail stores or they're doing online arbitrage and they're trying to find more items to sell. So what people do for Amazon is when they find an item that they know is plentiful, they'll look to see what other sellers are selling that. And they'll go to their storefront on Amazon and look to see what else they're selling. I mean, all that information is out there. It's not like, you know, you're cheating or whatever and you're trying to, you know, copy everybody. No, that information is there, like you said, for research purposes. So definitely think about doing that. I think that is like a really good tip. And I always forget to do that. But I wanted to talk about a couple other things. I'm sure when you're listening to this, you're thinking, well, how do I even find a niche? And I think one of the big things is pick something that you're interested in or you already know a lot about. And that could be maybe you're really interested in vintage t-shirts. Think about like Rally Roots. Like, they niche down into vintage t-shirts and you see they get bulk deals. So by them, you know, putting out that that's something that they're interested in, they do the Whatnot shows with all the vintage shirts. Now they've built up connections and have sourcing opportunities. So a niche can sometimes lead you to finding more inventory because people know what you're selling. And like you said about the bins, I think Alex shared that when she was on the podcast and she talked about how she got to know people that were at the bins and now they're friends. Well, she might not sell everything that they do. So if they're sourcing and they're looking for stuff, they might see something that she likes and then they'll give it to her. Same with when you're going to thrift stores, talk to employees, let them know what you sell. Like, Casey just became buddy-buddy with one of the guys at Goodwill. He let us know exactly when they're running their carts now, how it's working now that it's the holidays. We have a lot of community garage sales out here and they've already had them. So now what do people do with the leftover stuff? They bring it to Goodwill. So our Goodwills are being stuffed with items. And that's one of the tips too. Then that guy knows Casey looks for golf clubs. So he actually went in the back and got some more similar golf clubs that Casey was looking for. So when you do niche down, and you shouldn't be secretive to what you sell, especially with the thrift store employees, it can lead to bigger opportunities than if you're just looking for anything and everything. So these are just kind of like benefits of niching down. But another one would be if you become an expert in, like, let's say stained glass items or something, you might have sourcing opportunities online. Maybe you're looking up and you're doing your research and you notice somebody has something that's very valuable and they didn't know the value of it and they listed it for like $10 and you could buy it online and then flip it. So you have those opportunities as well. And then look at different platforms. Maybe the niche that you want to get in, and I think that was the example we had in the group, somebody was thinking of, what was it? It was something pretty specific that they wanted to get into. It was something where I was like, oh, if you want to get into that, maybe Etsy would be a better platform. So don't just stick with eBay. I mean, you have all these different platforms, Depop, Mercari, Poshmark, Etsy, selling on Instagram. And when you niche down, that can lead you to being very specific, having a store, having social media, building more of a brand. And that can lead to customers coming back because they know that you sell those specific items.
All right, guys, that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Paycheck to Daycheck Reselling Podcast.
Anything we mentioned in this episode will be linked down below in the show notes or description down below.
Be sure to share this episode with anyone you think it will help and follow us on social media at P2D Podcast.
Thanks again for listening. Keep working towards that daycheck.